Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now, here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigard.
Hey, hey, no Jason Swigard today. You got Luke Anderson.
Who are you?
And Will Darkins. I'm Luke Anderson.
What? Swag's supposed to be here.
I know. Swag's not going to be here today. He's leaving us in charge of this, so we will take a one-hour journey through the links.
Can you knock it off with your golf voice?
What? No, I can't.
You are so turning on a golf
voice. Oh, no, but this is... Oh, I did full golf voice. Me and Ortner had to do the first segment because Swag was out at Elk Ridge playing and was supposed to call in for the first segment. We couldn't get a hold of him. I did full golf voice for the entire first segment because we weren't supposed to do it. So me and Ortner just did this voice. So I was doing somewhere in between that. But no, we've got no Swag today, but we do have Golf in the Northwest. So it'll be a hybrid of a three-hour Sinner and Saint and a partial dip into the Gulf of the Northwest. But we do have a guest. We're going to talk to Doug Fares at 8:30. He is a golf professional at Indian Canyon Golf Course in Spokane, Washington. They're hosting an event this weekend, so we'll learn more about that. We'll talk some Scottie Scheffler, who's got the big lead at the Open after round two. They should be underway, so I should be 100% ready and have all this information pulled up so I can get you everything you need to know as it happens. But you're getting really into golf, right, Will?
I am. Yeah. I wanted to, because when you did the golf voice, I wanted to play this clip that I always laugh at. This, like, I love this.
We now return to Sunday Golf on CBS.
And Mickelson here trying to save par. And there's Mickelson's wife. God, is she hot.
Look at that rack. There's a downhill lie for you.
Oh, and they're just out there begging to be touched, pleading. How many golf balls do you think she can fit in her mouth?
I'd hit that one in the rough, if you know what I'm saying.
What? Are you kidding, Greg? You'd pork her for a week and then get tired of her.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I do. That's my thing.
Okay.
But a hell of a week, though.
All right. So...
Hell of a week, though.
So you're focused. You're here. You're here for the golf.
That was a great idea by Jason Swigard. Hey, I think I know what I'll do. I'll take a vacation during the British Open week, and I'll leave the show to a guy who's mildly interested in golf and a guy who I've worked with for almost a decade, who I'm quite sure is not interested in golf, but does come in and does a golf show anyway.
Yeah, well, listen, he was a little nervous when he knew that you would be at the controls and I would be at the helm. We'll be entirely honest with this. But it is funny because he does leave us with a major championship, which is very interesting. It is the one played on the other side of the world so that we, you know, do not have the opportunity to watch it in real time. So for me, I'm not getting up that early to watch the Open Championship. But what I find really amazing about where we're at with golf right now, Scottie Scheffler takes the lead, and everybody just goes, "No, it's going to be a boring Saturday and Sunday." Like, they just resigned to the fact that Scottie Scheffler is the greatest golfer in the world. He's number one in the world for the last 3 years. He's got four majors. He's got two PGAs. He's got two Masters. He's great. But they're just resigned to the fact that, listen, we'd love to, you know, take a look at the rest of the field, but I'm reading up on just kind of what happened yesterday. He goes out and shoots 64, his best showing in an Open Championship, and everybody just goes, meh, I guess it's over. It was fun. It was nice to go out to Royal Portrush. It was cool to have the Rory McIlroy storyline. Tyrell Hatton out there playing well, who is the angriest golfer on tour and an Englishman. So the Open Championship is really his, you know, biggest event of the year. This is all going to be great. And then Scotty gets a lead, and they just go, ugh. I guess that's game, guys. Yeah. It was fun after 2 days. It's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah. Now he's in the new Happy Gilmore. Is that right?
I have not done much research on the new Happy Gilmore.
Why not?
Is it out or when is it supposed to come out soon?
I don't know.
Oh, well, come on.
But I've seen Subway ads for it.
Oh, of course you have.
Subway has gotten in on it.
Well, Subway was in on the original, as they should be.
That was good, though. What is he? He hits the foot long and the guy catches it in his mouth.
That's right.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, he's like, how am I going to make some money before the end? Yeah. I love this delicious cold cut trio, whatever it is. Yeah, man.
Ah, I love early Adam Sandler.
I think everybody did.
But there's like a cutoff, and I can't quite. Okay, so now I got to look at the movies. Okay. There's a cutoff where like he gets to be like, oh, I don't want to watch those movies anymore.
Big Daddy.
You think that's it? That was the last one where it was like, oh, this is good.
I think that's where he turned a corner where it became, hey, me and my buddies are going to make some movies that we think will be funny for us. Like, the grown-ups movies were just hey, let's all get together and we'll write a bunch of scenes and match them together.
Yeah.
And they weren't, I don't think they were, fully thought out movie ideas where you had, beginning, middle, end. And then you had, the little things. Now, I'm trying to think of where the Waterboy lives in that.
Yeah, so here, I'll give you a little speed up here.
So have you ever seen his first movie? If you're looking at it, it's not Billy Madison, which a lot of people think. It's Going Overboard. Have you ever seen Going Overboard?
I don't see Going Overboard here.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, no, I do. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes.
Going Overboard is...
Okay, 89.
Okay. Absolute train wreck. It is maybe one of the worst movies
ever,
but it's low budget. He just got some guys to hold cameras up and it was a comedian trying to make them. I think that might have even been before he was on SNL.
Yeah, well, he didn't hit SNL till I think early 90s.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, probably was. And then he goes, he gets an SNL, obviously, and then he gets a role in Coneheads in 93.
And then Airheads is in there somewhere.
Airheads is after that. Then you got a kind of couple weird mixed ones. Mixed Nuts. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's a holiday movie. I think Dan Aykroyd.
Here's where it starts, though. Then you get Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, 95 and 96 consecutive.
And those are starring roles, and it's Adam. That's his coming out party. He's one of the featured members of the cast. He is big time, and he goes out there, and he becomes a star.
And then they go Bulletproof. Which
with Damon Wayans.
Yes. Yep. Which that was kind of like his next big budget foyer.
Yeah.
Then he gets The Wedding Singer in 98. Then Dirty Work. He's in that. Then Waterboy is in 98 as well.
Yeah.
Then Big Daddy is in 99.
Okay. So yeah.
So yeah, he just rakes in the 90s.
Yep.
And then
you get Little Nicky, which is Mr.
2000.
Mr. Deeds is meh.
Yeah, and then Deeds is 2002. Yeah, I think maybe that's where you're at. Maybe, you know what?
He wasn't made. What's that?
Or actually, you know what?
There's
Longest Yard. I think the longest 2005. That's kind of the apex where you're like, okay, these movies are good. And then The Longest Yard is kind of like, okay, this is fine.
And but that's a remake. That's a remake too. Yeah. So I don't give him a lot of credit for that. And the partnership with Drew Barrymore, revisiting that, because The Wedding Singer's great, but that doesn't feel like the Sandler comedy. It's like him in a comedy and as an actor, and he's good as an actor. He does, the Uncut Gems and what was the basketball one that he did was pretty good.
He was in Punch Drunk Love, wasn't he?
Punch Drunk Love was great, but those are movies where we're going to hire you as an actor. I don't know if those are Happy Gilmore productions. There's a lot of those where you just kind of go,
Yeah, so then Longest Yard's 05. So then here's kind of the downfall, right?
Yeah.
And then these are movies exclusively with him as the star or co-star. You got Click, which was meh.
Yeah.
You got I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which was problematic. You then have Don't Mess with the Zohan, which is garbage.
Yeah.
You have Bedtime Stories, which is even worse.
Now you have a
nice little blip here with Funny People.
Yeah, Funny People is good.
Which is a good movie.
Yep.
Then you get Grown Ups, Just Go With It, Zookeeper, Jack and Jill, which is...
Zookeeper was his buddy's movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's Kevin... Really. Yeah, whatever.
James.
Kevin James.
Yep, there you go.
Kevin James. Yeah, then here's where the real crap comes in. You get Jack and Jill.
Wait, you've already had the Zohan, and now it gets bad.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
No, I'm with
Have
you.
Have you ever seen Jack and Jill?
No, and I don't.
Oh, Lord.
He's playing both brother and sister. In
yes,
the,
he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's his Eddie Murphy turn. That's his... That's his Dr. Doolittle phase?
And you can tell he didn't do a lot of prep for it because he just defaulted to the Adam Sandler I'm a Girl voice. Which in your head, I told you that. And in your head right now, you're like, yep, I know that voice.
Yeah, well, it's also very much the... I don't think people get very much a tip of the cap to Monty Python where it's like, we're not going to try to be female. We're just going to shout.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So he does that. That's My Boy. Terrible.
Yeah.
Hotel Transylvania, which it's not really a Sandler movie.
No, and those the kids, I watched those with the kids, they're not bad.
Yeah,
not
I bad. Could imagine that.
They're good.
Grown Ups 2, Blended, The Cobbler, which was stupid, Pixels, which was terrible.
Yeah.
Another Hotel Transylvania movie.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah, I mean, it's
he's still cashing checks for those?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then then comes the Netflix era of... Of Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
That's around like late 10s.
Yeah.
Is you know, he does Uncut Gems in 2019, but then you know, you get Murder Mystery, you know, just all this crap.
Yeah. So when does the new Happy Gilmore come out?
Let's see. Yeah. Upcoming. Happy Gilmore 2. Let's see, when is it coming out? I gotta know.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of this. It is the golf show. It's Golf in the Northwest.
Oh, that's right. That's what we started talking about.
That's right. Yep. That's how we got here.
I can't
it back in.
Find that.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just start there.
Okay. You want? Should we go behind the ropes while you look?
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
Okay, was Lee Trevino the guy in the first one?
Shake his head. Yes. That is accurate. So we go out to Royal Portrush to take a look at what's going on at the leaderboard. The leaders are through two, and Scheffler's lead has disappeared.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Matthew Fitzpatrick already 1 under on the day. He is now tied with Scottie Scheffler at 10 under for the tournament. Looking at some other names, Brian Harman, 6 under. H.T. Lee is at 9 under. He's just 1 back of the leaders. You've got a cluster at 6 under that includes... Russell Henley, Rory McIlroy, Brian Harmon, Wyndham Clark at 5 under with Tyrell Hatton, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, a whole lot of English flags there.
Now, did Wyndham Clark's ass get booted from a tournament?
No, not a tournament. Oakmont. So, yeah, Blowpig got a little angry after his round at Oakmont, where they played the U.S. Open, and he kicked in some lockers. Pictures got out. So he's not allowed back at Oakmont for the next 10 years unless he apologizes, pays restitution, and takes anger management courses. That is important because of the U.S. Open back at Oakmont in 2033. So this is after at Quail Hollow, he threw his driver, broke the head off after an errant tee shot. So yeah, Oregon's favorite son. Well, not really. He's not from Oregon, but he went to Oregon and won a national championship there. Got some anger issues.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good of golf.
It's good of golf to,
well, to just be more like, you know, hey, you have to do all this stuff. Because I feel like
it's an Oakmont. It's not necessarily golf that's asking for it, but it is Oakmont. So, yes.
Yeah.
They will
but, like, think about the NBA, right? Like, it took, like, what, 74 ball punches for the NBA to finally be like, you know what, Draymond, I think you need therapy.
Yeah, well, that. And how many times do you have to flash a gun if you're John Morant and all of the things?
Right. But yes. We're going to give you a warning.
Yeah.
And then the next time they were like, look, we're going to give you a stronger warning.
Yeah. Well, golf trying to be to be hip and cool, but still keeping that gentleman's game vibe going. I mean, they don't want people, you know, acting like fools out there, breaking rakes and throwing them into the forest. We can't have that, Happy. Can't have that. So,
yeah. Yeah, we'll and that's kind of what it's like, right?
All right. Well, we'll do some investigation, figure out when the new Happy Gilmore is coming out. We'll get you that news and more when Gulf of the Northwest continues.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
1080 The Fan.
Them straight for 12 years. This is Gulf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Gulf in the Northwest. Jason Swigart back next week for all you lovely golf listeners. Luke Anderson filling in with Will Darkins on the controls and joining in with his golf insight. You picked up baseball in the last year. You admitted before we got on the air that you are becoming an old man. Is there any chance that you pick up golf in the next few years, Mr. Darkins?
No. Probably not.
No?
Because it's an individual sport.
Yeah. Well, you play tennis. But you do, yeah. Do you exclusively play doubles? Mixed doubles?
Well, I do now. I'm not good enough to play singles now.
Yeah.
Golf... Yeah, I can appreciate golf.
Hey, for all that's, of the... I will say that that is an improvement from when you and I started doing the show.
Yeah, I can appreciate it.
Okay.
But also, I recognize that, one, it is an incredibly slow-paced game, and two, it's turned into a sport that is more about intrigue than it is actual play, and they need it to be that way because there's nobody that's... ever filled the gap from Tiger Woods. And now, if you want to say Scottie Scheffler, which I know you're about to, like to do that.
I was going to ask you the question. I was going to ask you the comparison. Oh. Do you think anybody's ever filled the Michael Jordan gap?
Yes, many people. Kobe Bryant filled it. Now, you can never fill it completely.
That's my
golf
point.
Has never even gotten close to filling it.
Rory
McIlroy, no.
The run that Jordan Spieth had early got people excited, but difficult to maintain.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler is on a little bit of a tear, but it's interesting because Scottie Scheffler had some comments earlier this week that I was reading where he was saying that he hates losing more than he enjoys winning. And that's not a great sign for longevity when he's already 29 and obviously he's on this historic run, but he has a very long way to go before he gets anywhere near Tiger or Jack. But if he is out there going, yeah, if I win a tournament, I'm happy for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty telling comment. And it is such a grind to go out there and do this every week. And Scotty's got a young child and a wife that he wants to spend time with and doing all of that. And he's going to have enough money to be set for generations if he continues to play like this for even a couple more years. So then to stay interested into his 30s or perhaps into his 40s would be amazing. So that is one of the things about Tiger is he came out and did it so young and was on pace, but he never caught Jack. So that's the other thing is as good as Tiger was, he does not hold the all-time records of what Jack Nicklaus was able to do across a longer period of time because he was so consistent. So yeah. It's kind of a wild – I think you're 100% correct that nobody will ever fill the Tiger void. The charisma, the way that he just kind of came out of nowhere.
It's the timing.
The way that he impacted golf on a global scale. Mm-hmm. It can never happen again. And the thing is to predict it. It has to be something like that where it is a 100% surprise, and I don't know if it'll happen.
Yeah, and to my, to rebut my own argument, okay, maybe saying replace isn't the right term. I guess this is what I'll say. Tiger Woods, and I'm very confident saying this, is the most important golfer in the history of the sport. Okay. I'm very confident saying that.
Yeah,
and the reason I'm confident saying that is because
you're a millennial.
Well, no, because he filled a gap when the sport was about to die. And people might want to argue that, it'll always stick. No, well, hold on a second. It's not going to stick around, especially in the late 90s when you started to have those incredibly popular players age out. Mm-hmm. And there was this, excuse me, this gap where golf was falling behind in the age of internet, where people were starting to kind of glom onto things that were more accessible in these short spurts of clips, right? Uh-huh. That's why things were getting put onto the internet and people were seeing things on the internet and interacting with the internet. And not to be mean to golf, but golf doesn't really bode well on the internet. It is a long form game at which you watch, you kind of see. There's really no highlights until Tiger came along. Well, Tiger filled three very important holes. One, I'll get to it.
Yeah,
trust me. One, he was a highlight machine who you still today, I've never seen any other golfer like this, are just posted on social media, his highlights. I never see any other highlights of
his Nike commercial where he came out and just juggling the ball. And
right.
Yeah.
Two, he was a psychopath, which golf had really never had. Golf had never had a psychopath like this.
It did, but not in the media era. There was some of those early golfers. I mean,
maybe they were drunk, angry psychopaths.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods was a legitimate sociopathic winner. It wasn't that he hated losing. It was he wanted to crush you. He delighted in the fact of demeaning and crushing enemies. And three, he was multiracial. At a time when the United States was culturally shifting from a primarily white media landscape in the 1990s, a lot of your friends, Full House,
Seinfeld,
you could never find anybody of color in movies until like they had bit roles. He filled this gap where golf started to look like the forefront of what media entertainment would be, which is we have this multicultural player who is a psychopath. He loves winning. He is entertainment on television, not only in the way he plays, but the way he celebrates.
Well, bringing Nike into golf and Gatorade into golf and bringing sponsors that weren't looking at. And it made golf feel like a sport.
Yes. That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. And I think, you know, he's similar to Michael Jordan in that way where I don't do the whole GOAT thing of like, he is the greatest of all time. I'll just tell you, Michael Jordan probably was the most important player in NBA history. Magic and Bird saved the game in the early 80s when they were on tape delays. But Michael elevated it to a level globally where if not for Michael Jordan in the early the late 80s through the entire 90s decade, basketball probably sits right at about where baseball is right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, they kind of are. I mean, they've just eclipsed them just now. I mean, baseball was the number two sport in...
But media attention, no, I understand. Basketball gets more.
Well, especially in Portland where we don't have a baseball team and we do have a basketball team. So I think there's a little bit skewed...
Well, nationally, right?
Yeah, but the world...
Who's the face of baseball?
Right now, it's globally, it's Shohei Ohtani, for sure. But I'm...
A guy who, by the way, and I don't really care if you take offense to this. By the way, he doesn't speak English very well. So when he goes to commercials and he does that, interacting with people makes it very difficult. And if you want to get mad, Jeff Passan, about that, let me just say he's working for New Balance. And by the way, I haven't seen Shohei Ohtani in many media or cross media appearances for certain things, probably because of that fact. Yeah. It's probably the same thing with Yao Ming. It was probably the same thing with Ichiro. Is that bad? No, it's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, the new face of baseball, I don't know if you saw the sponsorship deal that the Mariners catcher signed the other day.
Oh, no.
But now he is the official spokesman, the big dumper for Honey Buckets. So
porta potties?
Yes, porta potties.
Nice.
So the new face of baseball might be emerging in Seattle.
Dude.
And it is Cal Raleigh.
That's smart. Now, I know you went to the game yesterday. Is that
correct? I did. Yes, I did.
Did they do the video segment of Cal Raleigh reading breakup letters?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, they had an on-video segment the last time I went where it was called The Big Dumper Does Dumps, and he reads breakup letters.
That's funny. No,
it was good.
No, the bit that they did was, it was 80s night, so they had all of the players, and they put up the year that they were born, which many of them born in the 2000s, seeing what they knew about the 1980s.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was very good when Gabe Spire saw the DeLorean and goes, oh, that's a Mandalorian. Very funny. And he's like, no, I know that. I know what that is. And like, but he just
sheer confidence.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
So good.
And then caught it. So it was a good bit. But yeah, the in-park entertainment is absolutely fantastic. I have the open on right now and just watching at Royal Port Rush. Right. It looks absolutely beautiful. I'd be surprised if you didn't eventually get into golf, because it's one of those challenging things. The one thing that I will say about kind of what you're talking about, though, with, you know, not having somebody that is the global face of golf at the Tiger level, there is more access to players now. So my brother-in-law has never really been a huge golfer, but my father-in-law very much is. He plays the same executive course in the town of Hemet, California, 3-4 times a week, and he just will cycle through 3 or 4 times in a day if he doesn't have anything better to do. He loves the game, and my brother-in-law is now getting into it. And so he is on YouTube watching ride-alongs with Scottie Scheffler, where you have this YouTube star that's out there playing around at his home course in Texas, the course that Scottie grew up on, and he's talking about how he's taking the approach to it. And then it'll immediately go into a training video where somebody's talking about, you know, how to, you know, get better compression when you hit the golf ball. Then it goes into another video where it's, you know, pick your pro is going and doing something. So
wait, that's how YouTube works?
Yeah, but the access to the best golfers in the world isn't something like if you watch basketball highlights, you're not going to get, and here's Jim from down the street playing one-on-one against LeBron. You don't get that, but golf does does have that access. Mm-hmm. Where it's this constant idea of everybody's trying to improve their game, including the pros, mm-hmm. and you have access to some of the same teaching professionals that they have, and access to go and see the lessons that these guys are doing, the drills that these guys are doing, and then you get to go see them play and how much better they are than this guy that is a scratch golfer that has his 2 million followers on YouTube.
Yeah.
So the access that you get to the game right now is, like, if you get drawn in, there is a rabbit hole that you can be drugged down with all the training aids. I mean, you listen to this show partially most weeks, and listening to Jason Swigart talk about it, all of the different things that you can do to improve the game, the opportunities to go and play. Northwest Golf Guys have tournaments that you could play in right now. You can sign up with whatever your handicap is. There's all these opportunities to go out and play in fun tournaments around. And we'll talk with Doug Fares, the head PGA pro out at Indian Canyon Golf Course in Spokane, about one that they've got going on this weekend. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Doug here on Golf in the North.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
West.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
All right, no Jason Swigart this week. He'll be back next weekend as your regular host of Golf in the Northwest. Luke Anderson, happy to be filling in. Also happy to be talking with Doug Fares. He is the PGA head golf professional at Indian Canyon Golf Course in Spokane, Washington. Doug, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you doing, Luke?
I am fantastic. Sorry to be pulling you away from the third round action going on in Royal Port Rush. But you guys have a big event yourselves out in Spokane. Tell me what you got going on.
We've got the Rosars Open going on here at Indian Canyon this weekend. It's been going on since 1988, and it's a big week for us.
And playing during the Open Championship, I imagine that there's plenty of opportunities for guys to go out there and showcase what they can do while watching the best from around the world gather. What's the format for the tournament? Who are the players that you should be taking notice of locally that are out there playing in the Rosars Championship this weekend?
Well, it's a Pacific Northwest PGA event, so we have a lot of professionals. We've got 168 of them playing today, with some amateurs mixed in, playing this weekend, and from all over the Northwest. It's 54 hole stroke play, okay. And it's really fun.
So they started yesterday, then, and finishing up tomorrow.
Correct.
Perfect. Well, tell me a little bit about your tenure out there in Spokane. This course has some deep roots, designed by the same designer of Pebble Beach, if I'm reading correctly.
H. Chandler Egan, he's pretty a pretty good, well-known architect, particularly the Northwest. He's had his hand in a lot of courses. He assisted McKenzie on a redo of Pebble back in the 20s, okay. I think. So he didn't, well, I guess he was instrumental in the design with McKenzie on it, on the redo. Yeah.
Yeah. And, so tell me a little bit about, Indian Canyon. So for, you know, us folks over here from the west side of the mountains that don't get a chance to go over to Spokane as often as we'd like, I've played, the resort course at Coeur d'Alene, but I haven't played much golf in that area, but there, it's kind of a hotbed for golf. And where do you guys sit in that zone?
Oh, Spokane is a hotbed for golf. It's really, we're well known for affordable, accessible golf, right? Indian Canyon's been here since it was opened in 1935. So this is our 90th year. And it's really well known. Gosh, we've had a couple PGA events back in the day.
Okay.
And then had been a site for three USGA championships, two men's pub links.
Okay.
And a women's pub links. That tournament doesn't really, it doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, it's kind of a rare thing for a course to have three USGA championships under its belt.
Well, fantastic. So if we were to make a trip out there, what should we expect if we were going to go and get around in at the course? What's the layout? What's the style of the course? How unique is it in the area? And does it have to be on our list if we're headed that direction?
Oh, absolutely. We're at the top of the list when people come over this way. Like you said, the history is one thing, but the design, where it's at, it's stunning, really. It couldn't even say we'd have a signature hole because there's every hole's pretty good. But the view from the deck or when you step out to go to the tee, it's amazing. You get a really good look. You overlook the north side of the city towards Mount Spokane, and it's really nice. So I'd say, well, for Spokane, you want to come here April through mid-October. And the weather, you can almost count on solid weather when you're over here.
Yeah, and it looks like I'm just looking at pictures here, if I've got it correct. Plenty of trees, plenty of things to kind of work around. Definitely not the wide-open links golf that we're watching on TV right now.
Oh, no. It's built on the north side of a canyon, Indian Canyon, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
But so it's got a lot of elevation change. It's you're not going to get a level lie anywhere. You're not going to get a straight putt anywhere.
Oh, good. That's why.
Yeah, it's a great challenge, but it, nothing really that gets in your way between the tee and the green. So you can we have a lot of our ladies nine hole league really enjoys playing here. It's nothing that they get in any trouble with. So. It's a course that can be played, but it is certainly challenging.
Yeah, and it's probably one of those courses where maybe if your driver isn't going straight, you just leave it in the bag and find the club that's hitting the straightest, it appears, just as I'm doing a little scroll through each hole here.
For sure. I think there's been a pretty concerted effort from our maintenance staff and our superintendent to clear out the brush, and so we can have play move along.
Yeah,
you're going to find your ball pretty much wherever you hit it. But yeah, you still, the challenge is trying to keep it in the fairway. But if you are in the trees, you're going to be able to find it and get it out of there.
We're talking with Doug Ferris. He's the PGA head golf professional at Indian Canyon Golf Course in Spokane. They've got the Rozeres Open this weekend, a 54-hole tournament that brings some of the best golfers in the Northwest, including some amateurs out there. You said this event has been going on for quite a while. I have 1988 mm-hmm. is when it started. Just hosting an event like this, we know watching the pros play that they'll kind of add some challenges to, especially a U.S. Open course where they let the roughs grow up a little bit and make the second cut a little bit more challenging. What's the design when you're doing a tournament that hosts local pros? Is it to showcase the course, make it as challenging as you possibly can? I imagine a lot of these guys are friendly and everybody knows each other. So is it more about the camaraderie or is it making it the most challenging course you can put out there for them?
Kind of a little bit of both. We certainly like to challenge the player, but you want it to be a fair test too. And really, no matter how you set it up, the best the good players are going to win, right? The best player is going to win no matter how the course is set up. So, you know, and we're a public golf course, so Monday morning we're back to ringing in green fees and sending out rental sets. So it's a nice break for us to get these guys here and gals. We have like 6 or 7 women playing this year, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
And our charity for this thing, it's like I said, it's a big week for us. We have 2 days of pro-am. So the sponsors are here and they play their own ball. It's a 2 out of 4 or 2 out of 5 format where we're counting scores. And so the amateurs are here on Wednesday, Thursday, and then the pros play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And our charity is the Vanessa Behan Crisis Nursery, a great charity here in Spokane. And through the years, believe it or not, this after this year, we'll have earned that charity $3.5 million.
Wow, that's outstanding.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it's great to be able to do something for the community and then, you know, obviously the game that you love and have an event that showcases the golf course you have. One of the things you said early in this conversation was how affordable Spokane is. So for all of us that kind of bounce around between, you know, all the courses over here on the west side, if we were to make a trip out there, what are we looking at for greens fees if we wanted to go and play Indian Canyon?
If you're going to play any of the 4 City of Spokane golf courses, which is Downriver has been around since 1916. Great course. The Creek at Qualchin is our newest one. That was opened in 93. Okay. And then Esmeralda, we all have the same fee structure. So coming in, if you're going to walk the course, it's this year it's $52 for a green fee. Carts are 21, so under $80.
Yeah, I'll take that.
You're going to get a really good golf course to play.
Yeah, we've got courses locally that are, you know, doing everything they can to stay under $100. So get out there with a cart for less than $80. It's a pretty sweet deal. And, you know, if you're making a boys trip, I know that, you know, from Portland, everybody is looking at Bandon as a destination, but might want to look at heading east. The other thing, you know, you go down to the Oregon coast year round, the weather, the wind. How many days of sunshine are you getting in Spokane?
Oh, man. Like I said, you know, you can count a pretty good weather, but from, I don't know how many days of sunshine, but I can tell you from about July 1st until October 10th, it's nice every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about your tenure there. How long have you been at the course and what was your path to get there?
I've been here at Indian Canyon this is my 10th year. Before that, I was a head professional at Clarkston Golf and Country Club down in the Lewiston-Clarkston Valley near Pullman for 16 years.
Okay, so you've been kind of an East Side guy. Did you go to Washington State over there?
No, I went to Eastern Washington University.
Okay. All right. Well, Doug, it's been an absolute blast, and hopefully our listeners can take something from this, plan their next trip, maybe to head out to Spokane and hit some of those courses. Really appreciate your time, all the effort that you guys are doing for what sounds like a wonderful charity, raising all that money, and $3.5 million, I'm sure does a whole lot of good for people that need it.
Sure does.
All right.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Look forward to making a trip out there myself. Have a great day. Big thanks to Doug Ferris, PGA head golf professional at Indian Canyon Golf Course in Spokane. If you get a chance to get out there, like I said, if you're looking for a trip, I've made it out to Coeur d'Alene, which is absolutely beautiful, obviously right across the border into Idaho. Yeah. But you drive through Spokane and it's littered with golf courses, so it might be worth a trip. Will, you want to come? Can I talk you into it?
No.
Okay. All right. We tried. We will put a bow on golf in the Northwest next. I don't know that we made it through all of the leaderboards because the men playing in the Open, not the only ones playing this weekend. And we'll send you into the Sinner and the Saint. Those guys are great. That's something you should listen to. But we'll get you ready for that and more when we wrap up Golf in the Northwest next on 1080 The Fan.
Hitting them straight for 12 years. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Have you just been playing different years that's been hitting them straight on each Open? Or has it been, I thought that one said 10.
I didn't even know that's what it was going to say.
Okay.
During my leave, he changed it.
Oh, all right.
And he didn't tell me.
Now you
know. It's almost like nobody communicates anything here.
Ah, well, listen. Sometimes they do, and when they do, it's very orchestrated. So there's a lot that goes into communicating things. I mean, we are, in essence, a communication company. I mean,
that's true.
What we do.
That's what we do for a living. We're
talking about golf right now. Scottie Scheffler, 10 under. Matthew Fitzpatrick, also 10 under, both through 4 point in that leader group, the third round. Just underway for those guys, only through four. But you're starting to see some guys try to make some moves today. But nobody really kind of catching up with the leaders. McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, also 6 under, Tyrrell Hatton as well, Harris English, and others 7 under, and HT Lee sitting at 9 under. So the leaderboard has not changed much this morning. Like I said, I, because of when this tournament is on, have not had a chance to watch much of it on Thursday or Friday, but getting the early morning golf on the weekend, always fun. So seeing what these guys can do. And this course is beautiful. The weather looks fantastic. Oh, so if you're not excited about that, have you told the people yet? I don't know if we ever got back to this. In the first segment, we were talking about Happy Gilmore 2.
Mm-hmm.
Did you reveal to the public when that's coming out yet?
Oh.
I've got it for you.
You do have it.
I didn't know if you revealed it.
You're doing it. You're doing my job.
Happy Gilmore 2 is releasing this week.
What?
It is coming out. Initial release is July 25th, 2025. You'll be excited to know that Julie Bowen is back, Christopher McDonald as Shooter McGavin is back, Ben Stiller will be back, and then I know you're very excited about it. Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah. They got to get him in there.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess. You have to have a Kansas City Chief in absolutely everything that you do. So it's contractually obligated that if you do anything that is even tangentially related to sports, you have to have some representative of the Chiefs organization. And let's be honest, between Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce, you'd probably rather have Kelce.
Well, now they put Andy Reid in a Skechers commercial I saw recently.
Well, you know what? That's actually a pretty good fit.
Yeah, and I was okay with that. Now, I know that last week I got really angry and, you know.
Wait, you?
I know, right?
I don't remember that.
And was like, hey, what the heck? Why is Andy Reid and everything? He's not really that entertaining. He's just a fat guy who's good at coaching football.
Sure.
But the Skechers thing is like, okay, that's pretty on the
nose.
I see that.
That's pretty on
the nose. No, the agent did his job. Good job.
There you go. John Daly, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau all appear to be making appearances. Mm-hmm. You will also get the great Nick Swardson in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Nealand.
Any Adam Sandler movie now, you have to expect that one of these people will be in it with him. It's Nick Swardson, Kevin Nealon, David Spade, or Chris Rock.
Well, and then his buddy, I didn't know his name. I'm looking at it. But,
oh, and the other guy, Dante.
Alan Covert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Dante in Grandma.
Yeah, who plays everything and everything. Yeah. He was just in there. But yeah, it's, you know what? I will say that, like, you may not like all of the movies that Adam Sandler made, but he made a lot of money making them, and he made his friends a lot of money making them too.
Oh, I know.
The loyalty, like, you look at the movie and go, oh, this guy again? And it's like, dude, that's what you would do if you accidentally became a movie star. You'd be like, oh, yeah, come in and play this. And call Dan Patrick and be like, yeah, why don't you come and play a police officer? Yeah. Why don't you play this? Why don't you play this part? So that is all fantastic by me, so I'm absolutely good with that. The things that we haven't gotten to on this show that I know everybody is clamoring for, the women are playing in France, and Grace Kim has the lead right now. They are playing in the Evian Championship, the Amundi Evian Championship in France this weekend. The men, very important to know, Steve Allen, your leader right now at the Dick's Open. So if you are a fan of Dick's Sporting Goods, the Dick's Open is being played on the Champions Tour. So I want to make
sure. When does the Dick's Open?
What's that?
When does the Dick's Open?
When
is it? Sorry.
Usually they open at 10. It's being played this weekend, it would appear, based on what I'm looking at the PGA Champions Tour website.
Is it a hard tournament to get into?
You're gonna go this lowbrow?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is beneath you. You can do better. This is a golf show. This is golf in the Northwest. deserves your reverence.
I heard that the golfers can get kind of testy on the course.
Oh, is that what you heard?
Yeah.
At the Dick's Open.
And the golfers at the top of the leaderboard are the most sensitive.
Yeah. That's not what All right.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That's not the worst.
Yeah. So, not convincing you to play golf. The Open Championship looks like it's setting up. Matthew Fitzpatrick won a U.S. Open a couple years ago, has been on a little bit of a downswing, but playing exceptionally well so far this week. Like I said at the Open, it's so funny to me the way that golf looks at Scottie Scheffler. Thinking that it's automatic and that makes it boring. I am rooting for anybody else to jump up and just make it close. I mean, that would be the ultimate finish. I know that McIlroy got plenty of jeers from people for his weeping when he won the Masters and, you know, completing the career Grand Slam. But the thing that you can count on with Rory, if he gets near the top, there will be drama, which is always fantastic when you're watching some Sunday golf. But that's the thing with Scottie Scheffler. If he gets a lead, he just runs away from it. But I don't know why greatness is boring. Just going out there and just being absolute nails, not known as necessarily a great putter, Mr. Scheffler, more known for his play around the greens, his approach shots, how close he can stick it from anywhere on the golf course, but has been putting exceptionally well through the so far in the week. And if that continues, I think that's a bad sign for other golfers. But hey, why not root for a guy to just be awesome and run away with things? But so far today, not happening. So we'll kind of keep an eye on what happens. Well, we're switching gears to Sinner and the Saint. Any previews that you'd like to do for the Sinner and the Saint? Anything you're really excited about outside of golf that you want to tell? You know, see if we can bring over this legion of fans that listen to this show into the next show.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to rock out.
Is that what we're going to do?
Just have fun. That's what we do on our show.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that is correct.
Right.
Any news happen around maybe your favorite pro team?
The Orioles?
That you're excited about?
Oh, the Trailblazers?
Yeah.
Well, Young Handsome.
Young Handsome.
Turns out he's pretty good in Summer League.
Being shut down for the Summer League. He's so good. He achieved what every player strives for, is being so good at Summer League that you don't have to play any more Summer League, which I always think is a fantastic. Is that you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, you were definitely
I was trying to record something.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, now tell me if it makes the noise.
I don't know. What you're
Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, did you hear that?
No, I did not hear a noise. Okay. Are you recording something for the next show?
No.
Is it for this
something
show?
Personal? Something. I'm using the work computer for personal
purposes. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Just taking all the files off of the computer.
I'm trying to record a casino line.
Okay.
But I got to get the bleeps in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because it's insane.
That. Yes.
But I love it.
Okay. Well, that's something that everybody can look forward to. I appreciate everybody joining us for the ride along. For golf,
dude,
in the
you
Northwest.
Got like 4 minutes.
I know. I'm trying to vamp the best that I can, dude.
What's going on over there? You got the TV on. I can't get my TV on.
You can't get your TV on.
No. What the hell's that remote?
Yeah, Scheffler and Fitzpatrick 10-under. Man, it's. I will give a lot of credit to Jason Swigart. That dude absolutely loves golf and come in here and do a solo show. This is what I will say about Golf in the Northwest. I loved co-hosting with Harold Bluestein. He was fantastic and being able to have somebody to riff off of, but come in and do a full hour of golf, even on a championship weekend. I know if you tuned in expecting me to have enough takes to carry an hour of just golf, that I'm letting you down, and I don't feel too terrible about that. But this is, this is something that Swag does every single week, and he comes in. Now, fairness,
he loves it.
In fairness,
and he's obsessed with
it. He usually brings two guests.
Yeah.
He gave me one.
If they gave me a show where they were like, hey, look, the crux of the show is basically just like talking about media and movies, I'd be like, Great. Yep. Do you need a co-host? No, I don't.
No, dude, I got
They can set me up if they like, but yeah. I'm just going to talk for three
straight
hours.
Once upon a time, you did a pop culture podcast for Entercom or Odyssey or whatever we were at the time. For Radio.com.
Radio.com.
That's right.
The juggernaut.
The juggernaut that was.
That was smart marketing by them.
Yeah, well, what I've been trying to avoid on this is doing golf play-by-play here.
Why?
Well, because
come on, man, what are we doing here? I don't know any stats about golf. I don't know anything.
You don't know anything.
Play by play. Why not? Just
shot by shot, play by play, as I see it. All right, Xander Schauffele lining up his putt, and he's 6 under right now. Looks like he's about 4.5 feet out. Should be a nice straight putt based on what I can see from the shadows and zero angle from the fly overhead.
God, he lines it up. Looks cold out there.
Draws back. No, actually, he's in short sleeves, and he drops it. Wow. There he goes.
Says a lot about
walks away with the par and stays 6 under for the tournament. Wow. Tips his cap to the caddy and walks. Yeah, that's what I was trying to avoid. Actually, what we should talk about is this Fresh Pet ad where they've got puppies wearing human
hats.
Clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's really what's going on.
Sometimes you got to kiss, man. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like when they were like, oh, we got to do this ad for Fresh Pet. Put animals in hats.
Yep.
Well, should we flush it out a bit more? No. Nope.
Do we have any dogs that can wear a straw hat? Yes. Oh, yeah. We've got this dachshund. Oh, wiener dog in a straw hat? Yes, please.
You're telling me this now?
Absolutely. Do you think that the casting couch for animals in Hollywood is just as vicious as the actual casting couch?
I hope.
Like, just the dog owners are in there, and they're like, all right, make your dog roll over. Yeah. Make him sit. Make him beg.
Let me see it.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Does it get weird? Does it get weird for the Fresh Pet casting couch?
I think there's probably some weirdness permeating all through Hollywood in any respect. Even trying to get your animal hired on an ad.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll leave you with a line that I read from Tyrell Hatton this week. He's trying to be a little more relaxed on the course. I mentioned that he's kind of a hothead, known for being that on the golf course. He said that the perfect amount of Guinness to have to kind of just relax and enjoy the round, 3. There you go. 3 Guinnesses. So if you're watching this tournament and you're getting a little anxiety because your guy isn't playing well, not 1, not 2. Grab yourself 3 Guinnesses and enjoy the rest of the Open Championship. Thank you to Jason Swigart for letting me fill in. Thank you to Doug Ferris for joining us from Spokane. I hope that tournament is everything that he hopes it be. And thank you to Will Darkins, as always, for running the keys on Golf in the Northwest. We're going to switch gears, and we are going to go full Sinner and Saint on you guys. I know you got a taste of it there because we can't help ourselves. But Sinner and Saint is next on 1080 The Fan. Wait, hit him straight.
A hair, half a ball, 1 ball short. Did they find my ball?
Trying to make things a little less penal.
Not making it so penal for
how
players.
How tight it is.
You have an idea of how hard it's blowing.
Which 5 am I putting out to score? To
come left.
Yeah, you're more suck your finger and stick it in the wind and see what's going.
Yeah, exactly.
You had him on Thursday on his knees.
Well, they always call swag the reach around here.
Pulled up the sack out on the sidewalk at the street and just see if you can aim it in there from the
floor. It's not like he's just sitting around sleeping all day.
If you've got a young golfer in the family, just somebody out there with a big wooden paddle. And look, I'm in the rough quite a bit.
So yeah,
Sergio Garcia, the Spanish rat, suck moisture out of the greens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Bogey, 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 bogey.
Oh, my gosh. It came up Peter Jacobson. I'm a super senior.
Balls are careening into tall spots.
Make sure I left the ball below the hole.
You know how easy I am.
Yeah, I know.
PJ's in Europe.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.